Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Sounds like you're reading the morning newspaper, doesn't it? Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we're thankful for another day to be alive. We're thankful that we have the health and the ability to get up and to be able to come to church. And Lord, we know that there are others that would sure like to be here today. And we pray, God, that you'd please be with them. You'd bless them. You'd help them. Lord, we ask you please be with all of the prayer requests that have been mentioned today, all those that stand in need. And Lord, I pray now that as we enter into this part of the service, that you would please give me clarity of thought and speech, liberty, Lord, through the power of your Holy Spirit to say what I need to say. Lord, I pray that you would free our minds of distraction. Help us, Lord, to be alert, to be attentive, to be able to focus on the Word of God and what you have for us. And Lord, help us to receive it. Help us to apply it. And Lord, when we leave here today, help us to go forth and try to be the very best representative of you that we possibly can. And I pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for his sake. Amen. The title for the message today is When Love Goes Wrong. When Love Goes Wrong. And in getting started, I want to say that love is an attribute of God. Just like God is holy, the Bible says God is love. And the scripture is filled with demonstrations and illustrations of his love. The greatest of these, obviously, is the giving of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It says that God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 9, the Bible says, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. So love is, you might say, a God thing. Or as the Bible says, love is of God. That's 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 7. And the testimony of the Bible is that the only reason you and I love him is because he first loved us. But what I want you to understand this morning is that this God of love created you and I with the capacity to experience and to express love. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to experience love, and he wants us to express love. But since we are sinners, he's perfect, amen? But we are sinners. We all have a sin nature. And since we are sinners, we can and oftentimes do use love in a way that is contrary to how God intends. And when that happens, love goes wrong. And love goes wrong when you and I begin to love things more than we should, and or we love things that God does not want us to love. That's when we're using love in a way that God does not intend. And that's what I'm going to focus on in the message today. I'm going to try to show you from Scripture some examples of when love goes wrong. And the first two that we're going to look at are right here in 2 Timothy chapter 3. The first one is in verse number 2. The second one is down in verse number 4. But I want you to look once again here at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1. And notice Paul says, this know also. So this is something we are to know. We shouldn't wonder. There should be no doubt, no speculation. We should know that in the last days, perilous times shall come. That means bad times, difficult times, hard times. That's the way it's going to be in the last days, according to verse number 1. And then he proceeds to tell us why perilous times are going to come in the last days. And I want you to notice the very first thing that he says. He says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. And really what he means when he says that is that men are going to love their own selves more than they love anybody else. That's what he's talking about. When he says men shall be lovers of their own selves, he means people are going to love their own selves more than they love anybody else. And I feel like when that happens, love has gone wrong. When anybody, when especially a saved person gets to the place in their life where they love their own self more than they love anybody else, love has gone wrong. Amen. There's a problem there because that is a selfish, self-centered love. It's a love that is turned inward instead of turned outward. It's when the emphasis is on you. When you love yourself more than you love anybody else, the emphasis is always on you. You are not thinking about the betterment of other people. You're thinking about the betterment of your own self. And I believe that's where a lot of people are right now. And that's why we're seeing, as the Bible says, some bad times, some perilous times in these last days, because a whole lot of people are at this place right here where they love their own self more than they love anybody else. The emphasis is on them night and day. The emphasis is on what pleases them, on what satisfies them, on what makes them happy, on what they want, on what can prosper them. That's their whole mindset. And I really believe that argument could be made for the fact that the rest of the things you read in these verses are the result of a person getting to the place where they love their own self more than they love anybody else. I mean, if you read down through the list, and we're not going to take time to do that, I think you could say that all of those things listed there are the result of a human being loving themselves more than they love anybody else. And what a sad place to get in your life where it's all about you. You love yourself more than you do anyone else. And that's right where a lot of people are at today. They are lovers of their own selves. And listen to me, folks, when you get there, love has gone wrong. There's a problem. God doesn't want you and I to love ourselves more than we love other people. He doesn't want us to be that way at all. He wants us to put others above ourselves. And listen to me, not in just a pretentious way. Us human beings are really good at pretending. We're good at make-believe. We're good at making folks think that we are all about them and love them, when in reality, it's all about us. It's amazing to me how we are so depraved that we can twist what is of God and so good into a way that it is so bad. You can take something like love that is of God, that is good, and twist that thing around to where it's all about you and not about other people. And yet, at the same time, make it seem like it's about others and not you. Let me ask you something this morning. You be real honest with yourself, because that's the only way you're going to get any help if you need some. You're going to have to be honest. Do you really, sincerely, genuinely love other people more than you love your own self? Do you really? Not do you pretend to. Not do you say that you do. But I mean, do you really love other people more than you love your own self? How many understand that's what God expects from us? That's what God wants. So So whenever you get to the place where you love your own self more than you do anybody else, love has gone wrong. But let me show you another illustration here in this same text. If you look on down at verse number 4, you'll notice there, Paul says, traitors, heady, high-minded, notice, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. When you get there, love has gone wrong. That thing that is of God, that thing that is good, that thing that the Lord wants you to experience and that He wants you to express, it's gone wrong. When you become a lover of pleasures more than a lover of God. And I'm afraid that's where a lot of people are at. Listen to me now. There is absolutely nothing wrong with loving a pleasure that isn't sinful. Y'all understand that? There's nothing wrong with loving a pleasure that isn't sinful. As long as it isn't something that is wickedly pleasureful or that in and of itself is wicked, it's all right for you to love that. I like to go deer hunting, just like many of you in here like to go deer hunting, right? See your hand here, you like to go deer hunting. Got some men and women in the congregation today. Yeah. Ladies, might as well raise your hand. Do you think there's anything wrong with loving to go deer hunting? Nothing wrong with that, is there? In and of itself, there's nothing wrong with that. That is a pleasure that we can enjoy. It's something that we have the lawful right to partake of, and there's nothing wrong with that. I like to go fishing. How many of you like to go fishing? A lot more people raise your hand then. Is there anything wrong with loving to go fishing? Here's for the ladies. You like to shop? Amen. Well, in and of itself, there's nothing wrong with going shopping. Y'all follow what I'm saying? There's things that are all right for us to enjoy. There's nothing sinful about them. They're not wicked. They're things that we enjoy, and it's all right for us to love those. Where love goes wrong is when we love those things more than we love God. That's where love goes wrong. It's not wrong with a person loving certain pleasures, but when they get to the point where they love that thing, whatever it is, more than they love God, then love has gone wrong. They love that pleasure way more than they're supposed to. And it's pretty easy, really, to tell when somebody loves a pleasure more than they love God. It's not something that they will have to announce. It'll be very evident. It'll be evident by how they spend their time. It'll be evident in how they spend their money. Y'all follow me? When somebody loves a pleasure more than they love God, then they'll be willing to spend thousands of dollars on whatever that pleasure is, but then not give God their tithe on Sunday morning. They're willing to fork out thousands. Some people love pleasure so much, they're willing to spend money they don't even have so they can enjoy that pleasure, but then won't give a plug nickel to support a man and his family who are going on the mission field. Now, you love pleasure more than you love God when you're in that place. Amen. Having fun this morning, amen. I tell you another way you can tell when you love pleasure more than you love God, when you'll lay out of church to do it. Getting personal now. I done quit preaching and went to meddling. Preachers ain't supposed to do that. Yeah, in fact, they are supposed to do that. And I'm going to tell you, if you lay out of church because you want to enjoy some kind of pleasure, that pleasure means more to you than God does. Now, you can try to pretty that up any way you want to, but the fact of the matter is, if you lay out of church on Sunday morning or Sunday evening to go deer hunting, you love deer hunting more than you love God. Boy, that's rough, ain't it? But it's the truth. If you find yourself up on Point A or Connecticut River, Alabama River, on Sunday morning when you're supposed to be in church catching a catfish, then you love pleasure more than you love God. That's a cold, hard truth. We don't like this stuff. It's, you know, kind of hard to swallow, but it's a cold, hard fact. When you get to the point where you will devote hours and hours and hours to a certain pleasure, but you won't spend 5 minutes reading your Bible or praying, you love that pleasure more than you do God. And there's people that have spent hour after, I'm talking about work their fingers down to the bone for something they enjoy. It's a pleasure. And the thing may not be sinful, it may not be bad, but it has taken control of them. And they'll spend hours and hours and hours and hours doing that, and they might give God 5 minutes of prayer time, if he's lucky. You know what? Love has gone wrong when you get to that point in your life. You love that pleasure more than you do God. Shame on us. Y'all listening to me? Y'all still listening? Shame on us that we would love anything more than we love God. Shame on us that anything would have more of our affection than God. I don't care what it is. Whatever the pleasure, even if I didn't mention it, if it's something else that you enjoy doing and it's not sinful, you better be careful that you don't love that more than you do him, because that's when love goes wrong. You know what it amounts to? It amounts that we make a God out of a pleasure. And we're good at that here in these United States of America. Taking something that is a pleasure and making a God out of it. The devil's not stupid. Listen, if he can't get you off into something that's wicked, you know what he'll do? He'll take something that's all right for you to enjoy, and he'll let you have that thing to the point that you go start raving crazy about it, and you love that more than you do God. That's what the devil will do for you. You take, for example, football, sports, basketball, all this stuff. People are screaming and hollering, spending all kind of money, going to ball games, getting all excited about it. Oh, they just love it. And they act like it don't really mean all that much to them. But if you had a camera and was watching them in their house whenever that game was going on, you'd see how much it means to them. When they come to church, well, that don't mean all that. I don't really care who wins or loses. You liar. You liar. Just a few hours before, you was cussing and throwing things at the television and hollering, stomping the floor. You know that you all worked up about it. And then the preacher gets up and preaches like I am right now, which is good preaching, by the way. Good preaching. You won't even grunt an amen in church. I have to stand up here. I may get myself in trouble right here. I'm used to it. I do it at home all the time. I stand up here and preach, and a lot of Sundays I just have to look out there at some of you sleeping while I'm preaching. Now, if you have a physical condition that caused you to sleep, I understand. I ain't talking to you. But if you're sleeping because you're bored with the preaching, I do have a problem. Now, I want you to understand how disrespectful that is to me, who spent hours trying to get something to feed you on Sunday morning. And there's something else somewhere that you love so much, that you've devoted so much of your time and energy to, that you can't stay awake in church. That's when love has gone wrong, friend. It's gone wrong. Let me show you something else for the two or three of you that still listen. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. If I preached as good as some of you listen, I'd be a sorry preacher. Amen. And if I showed up as much as some of you showed up, we wouldn't have church the majority of the time. Just being plain with you this morning. But what I'm trying to show you is how messed up we've gotten this. We love all this other stuff so much, we'll just give our time and energy and money and effort and all that. Can't show up at church half the time. Can't stay awake when you do show up in church. Y'all understand? We've made a God out of something out there, and we love that more than we do him. And that's when love has gone wrong. Well, let me show you something else. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Love has gone wrong when you fall in love with money. If I didn't make you mad on that last point, just hang on. When you fall in love with money. 1 Timothy chapter 6, the Bible says in verse number 10, "For the love of money is the root of all evil." Isn't that what it said? The love of money, that stuff that everybody wants, that money. The love of money. And let's be clear about it. It doesn't say money's the root of all evil, does it? And the Bible does not say it's a sin to have money, by the way. Okay? It doesn't say that. But it does say that the love of money is the root of all evil. You know what that means? That means that God doesn't want you to love money. And if you are in love with money, then love is going wrong in your life. Because it says the love of money is the, look at it now, the love of money is the, not a, the root of all evil. Isn't that what it says? So if you dig down to the root of the evil that is in a person's life, if you dig down to the root, if you get down there to the source of the evil that's in a person's life, according to what I read here in the Bible, you know what you'll find? When you dig down to the root, you won't find money. Because that ain't the source. That ain't the root. When you dig down to the root, you'll find the love of money. That is the root of all evil. And love is going wrong when a person falls in love with money. How does God want me to be in my life as a Christian? Well, let me show it to you real quick. Look at verse 6. We could look at other scripture, but we'll just look right here. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment. I'm godly and I'm content with godliness. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Look at verse 7. For we brought nothing into this world. Come in naked, didn't you? I mean, really, your birthday suit, that's what everybody called it. That's what you didn't come in with anything. You didn't come in. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. You're going to go out with exactly what you came in with, nothing. Came in with nothing, go out with nothing. And look at verse 8. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. God says, if I got food and I got clothes, then I ought to be content. That's rough, isn't it? That's tough there. He doesn't even include in there a house. He just says food and raiment. Be therewith content. Now that's a far cry from where a lot of people live in this world. A far cry. And a lot of it's because they're in love with money. Obsessed with it. No matter how much they get, they always got to have more. Always looking for some new deal that they can get involved in. Some way to better themselves financially. Instead of being content with their wages, instead of being content with what they have, always got to have more. And I'm not saying that if the Lord works it out where you get a raise or you get an advancement, that that's bad. But it ought to be something that God does for you, not something that you finagle and work out in your own life because you're discontented with what you have right now. Do y'all understand that? There's a big difference in you being faithful in your position and God honoring your faithfulness and giving you a raise. There's a big difference between that and you just not being satisfied with where you are and you being sneaky and mischievous and conniving and doing whatever you can to make more than what you have right now. There's a big difference there. Those are the kind of people that love money. Always got to have more. Let me show you something else. I got to move on because I have a few more I want us to look at. Y'all still having fun? Praise the Lord. Hope y'all telling the truth. John chapter 3 is where I want you to go. John chapter 3, when love goes wrong, when you love yourself more than you love anybody else, love has gone wrong. When you love some pleasure more than you love God, love has gone wrong. When you have fallen in love with money and are no longer content with where you are, love has gone wrong. I want to say number 4 this morning, that if you get to the place where you love darkness, love has gone wrong. When you love darkness. John chapter 3, verse number 19. John 3, 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Men loved darkness rather than light Now, in the Bible, darkness represents that which is wicked. Darkness represents that which is immoral, that which is filthy, that which is satanic, that which is evil, vile, ungodly. That's what darkness represents in the Bible. When you're talking about darkness in Scripture and you're not referring to like nighttime, when it's used in a spiritual sense, it always represents something that's bad. It never represents anything that's good and holy and wholesome. It's always bad. It's something evil and ungodly. But light, on the other hand, in the Scripture, represents that which is holy, that which is pure, that which is spiritual, that which is godly. It represents God Himself. The Bible says God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. It also represents His Word. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It also represents His Son, Jesus Christ, who said, I am the light of the world. It represents the saints of God. The Bible says that we are light and we are to walk as children of light. Light has to do with that which is good and godly. Darkness has to do with that which is bad and wicked and evil. And it's hard for me to imagine that people would actually love darkness more than they do light. But isn't that what the Bible says right here where we just read? That men love darkness rather than light. If you get to that place in your life where you love something that's wicked and evil more than something that's pure and holy, then love has gone wrong in your life. And there are people that fit into this category right here. When a person loves nasty language and nasty jokes and loves immorality and lifestyles that are abomination in the eyes of God, and they support that kind of stuff rather than good, holy things that the Lord is for, then love's gone wrong in their life. When you, brother, watch a nasty television on TV than you had watch something that's good and wholesome, love's gone wrong in your life. When you, brother, listen, gonna go to meddling again here. When you, brother, turn on your radio and listen to a song about how you lost your wife and your dog and your cat and all your house and you got drunk and you drowning your sorrows in a bar and all that, when you, brother, listen to that, then listen to a CD that has good gospel music on it, you love darkness more than you do light, and love's gone wrong in your life. I never have understood that. Well, I did back. Now I don't understand it. Now I don't understand it. It's amazing to me that people would be drawn to that. When you'd rather listen to that kind of stuff than you had plug in a CD and listen to somebody preaching the Word of God. You understand what I'm saying? When you like going to an R-rated movie, wow. Go to one where you know there's going to be nudity in it. You know there's going to be hellish violence in it with bloodshed all over the place, lying and all kind of wickedness like that, do you? Love's gone wrong in your life. Are y'all listening to me? I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just trying to shake us into reality. We got a problem, folks, when we're in love with that kind of stuff. I'm going to really go out on a limb right here. When you'll sit around all day in your house and watch soap operas, love's gone wrong in your life. See, I can't believe that. Yeah. It's just adultery and lying and fornicating. Y'all know I'm telling you the truth, don't you? And it's amazing that people sit there and look at that stuff and listen to it and then wonder why they feel depressed and they feel distant from God. It's because you're absorbing all that darkness into your heart. That's why you feel distant from God. Let me show you something, just so you'll understand what I'm saying. Turn to the book of 1 John with me. You get quiet if you want to. Let me tell you something. I've been preaching for about 24 years now. I've seen every look you can give me. I've heard every complaint you can give me, and I'm going to just keep on preaching. Amen? Amen. 1 John chapter 1. I'm going to show you from the Bible that you cannot walk in darkness and have fellowship with God. And people wonder, why do I feel so distant? Why can't I get my prayers answered? Why can't I get through to God? Why does it seem like He's not even a part of my life anymore? And they're just filling their lives full of darkness every day. If you're filling your life with darkness, there is distance between you and God. There's no fellowship there. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. Look at it. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Did y'all see that? But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You want some fellowship with God, some closeness, some nearness? You want to feel like your prayers are getting higher than the ceiling and see God do something in your life, the life of others? Then get that dark mess out of your life and put some light in your life. That's what the Bible teaches. You can't walk in darkness and have fellowship with God. Can't do it. And yet people try to do it every day. And they say, well, I go to church. Whoop-de-doo, okay? What does it matter if you go to church on Sunday morning and then live in darkness the rest of the week? What does it matter? It doesn't matter at all. Your church attendance is not impressing God, okay? It's not winning favors with God if the rest of the week you are filling your mind and your heart and your home with darkness. Doesn't impress God. And when you love darkness more than you do light, when you would stay out of church to watch a nasty program on TV, you love darkness more than you do light. And I'm going to go ahead and say this just for the upcoming weekend. I'm getting it all off my chest this morning, okay? If you lay out of church next weekend to watch that Dad Blame Super Bowl, you love darkness more than you do light. My, ain't we having fun? I'm just telling you all the truth. Let's go. Well, I'm out of time. I'm going to give you one more anyway. Go back to John chapter 12. But I can go ahead and tell you what they're going to show on most of those commercials. Y'all know what I'm telling you, don't you? It's the truth. Those Super Bowl commercials are some of the nastiest commercials that ever come on television, and they get nastier every year, don't they? And not only that, but the halftime program that people sit around and watch is filthy and rotten too. That's darkness. And you know what? I'm telling you, there'll be people next Sunday that say they're saved and love God that'll lay out of church and watch that mess instead of coming to God's house where they can hear some good wholesome music and some good preaching from the Bible. They love darkness more than they do light, and they don't have fellowship with God. I don't care what they say. They don't have it. John chapter 12. Somebody told me here a while back that I wasn't getting on to y'all as much as I used to. Well, I am this morning. I'm making up for days gone by, okay? People say they like good preaching. We're going to find out if you do. Like Bible preaching, do you really? Well, I'm going to give it to you. John chapter 12. I got some more. I'm going to just give you this one more. John chapter 12, verse 43. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. When you get there, love's gone wrong in your life. Because when you're a lover of the praise of men, then you're more concerned with what man thinks than with what God thinks. And that's when love has gone wrong. You're more concerned with offending man than you are with offending God. You're more concerned about being popular with man than you are with God. You're more concerned about your image and reputation with man than you are with God. Love has gone wrong. This keeps you from doing what you know you ought to do. Look back up at verse 42, the verse right before it. It says, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. lot of the chief rulers believed on Christ. But look at this. Because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Then it says, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. So they believed on him, but they didn't tell nobody. Why didn't they tell anybody? Well, according to the text, the reason they didn't tell anybody is because they love the praise of man more than they do the praise of God. So when you're more concerned what man thinks and what God thinks, it'll keep you from doing things that you need to do. Like when you go to work tomorrow and there's a situation there where you know that you ought to speak up and say something on behalf of the Lord or take a stand to get something that somebody's doing there. If you love the praise of man more than the praise of God, you know what you'll do? You'll just keep your mouth shut. And you'll act like you don't have a problem with it. And what good, listen to me, folks, and I'm done. What good is my Christianity if I'm not being light and salt in the world that I live in? If I'm not making some kind of a difference, if I'm not shining as a light and telling people about Jesus and standing up for what is darkness or standing up for what is light and against that which is darkness, what good is my Christianity? What good is it? But when you're real concerned about how people see you and what they might say about you and what they might think about you and maybe they won't talk to me no more, maybe they'll think I'm crazy and all that, when that's what's in your mind more than what God thinks, then you'll just keep your mouth shut and you won't say anything. But here's the thing you got to remember. If you're saved, one day you're going to leave this world either by death or by the rapture, and you're going to hit a thing that the Bible calls the judgment seat of Christ. And on that day, I promise you, it's not going to matter what people down here thought about you. What's going to matter on that day is how you were in your relationship with God. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for letting us be in church. Thank you.